Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello. How are you? How are you? I used to work in radio. I used to know a guy who used to do that on the radio. And the boss of the station loved it. How are you? Eh? How are you? Yeah, how are you? I thought, what? Who are you talking to? Let's be honest, does anyone actually talk back to the radio? When you're doing radio, apparently you should speak to one person, you know, and not imagine lots of people, just one person. You. Yes, that's you. But I said, it's so cheesy. anyway, listen. This is Macro News for Thursday, the 16th of January, 2025. I don't know why I said that at the start. I suppose it's just to, you know, remind me of what date it is, because you may know the date. I do apologise for that. But I listened to the podcast yesterday, and I want to make it shorter, faster, quicker. I think it's better like that. So I haven't started off very well, because I'm blathering. But listen, Amazon have nearly sold out of my book for the fourth time. I don't know what they're doing. They're not ordering enough stock. So this must be a problem. But anyway, listen, there's only 15 days left. If you bought the book and it's due to arrive before the end of January and you read it and you like it and you give it a 5-star rating and review, you can get 50% off the Share Pickers Investment Club, okay? This ends on the 31st of January. So only 15 days left for that. So as I'm looking now, I think there are only 5 copies on Amazon. There are other outlets you can get them at. But yeah, so seven copies left in stock on Amazon, but there are other places like Hammer and House. And like I said, that discount will disappear. Okay, let's look at the markets. Some big news out today, of course, on data. In fact, this week there's been some big news out. But first and foremost, UK FTSE 100 up 0.6%, 8,353. FTSE 250 up 0.1%, 20,358. FTSE small cap up. Well, it's up 0.1% to 6,761. It's under the 200-day moving average. Is the FTSE 250? Yeah, FTSE 250 is under the 200-day moving average. Now, the 200-day moving average is seen like the bull or bear line, okay? The FTSE UK 100, that's just, in fact, last 2 days had a good rally, so it's above that, but it was below that temporarily. A mall share, well, that's way below the 200-day moving average. The 200-day moving average is at 755. The AIM All Share today is at 715, but it is up 0.1%. Okay, commods. It's never going to run smoothly, is it, the Middle East thing? So they've got the ceasefire happening, ending on the 19th, and now Israel say Hamas are dodging some of the lines, the agreements, and so there's it's touch and go whether it will happen. But because of this, Brent crude oil is rallying a bit. In fact, since the 30th of December, it was at $74 a barrel. It's now 81, and it's had pretty much 7 out of 8 positive sessions, including today. Bitcoin, it's rallied. It's back above, well, it was above 100,000. It's now 99,000. It's down 1.5% a day. I did see something about Trump is going to set up a crypto asset reserve for crypto assets created in America. I don't know if there's one of the crypto bros just ramping that. I have no idea. Gold, up again, 0.5%. To 2,731. By the way, I don't know if you saw yesterday Ramsden's results, but of course, one quarter of their business is precious gold buying and selling, and it's done very well revenue wise. I mean, they get a margin whatever happens with the gold price, you know. So, so it doesn't really matter. But generally, more interest is generated when gold is high because people want to sell the stuff they've got, looking around, scrabbling around in their drawers for something made of gold. You know, oh, we can sell this. So, yeah, so it's very positive. But worth looking back at, okay, Now, Ramsden's do currency effects. You know, people a card. They give people their card to go on holidays with, a prepaid card, pretty much. And they've got from 5,000 users when it was launched in a month after September to 17,000 a few months later. Now 21,000 users, and now they're doing currency exchange in house. They did do it with a third party, and they sort of split the revenue on that. But they didn't really get behind it because as a split revenue wasn't much. But they realise, in fact, that we have 800,000, these are customers that reuse the card over and over again, 800,000 customers a year on currency, okay? They've got a huge database, and now they're doing in-house, they've got FCA approval to in-house currency exchange. So people can exchange between currencies via the card, all that stuff. I think that's, and they said it could be in 2-3 years' time, maybe significant revenue stream. I think it could be massive. Look at all the companies now doing very well at currency exchange. Now, Ramses already have a database, a huge amount, 800,000 customers. So I think that's a lot. Anyway, I'm invested in Ramses. I'm just saying it's worth a look. I do see that. And they're going to be growing anyway, but this is an additional revenue stream, which is very good, I think. Anyway, sorry, what? Where are we going there? Oh, gold. It's all about gold, wasn't it? Yes. What about copper? Up a fifth of 1%. And what do you want? In dollars or tons? This is in pounds. This is at the moment. You don't want pounds, do you? Let's go down to tons. So it is up to 9,694. A V-shaped bounce here from 2nd of January, pretty much. It low pretty much of 8,800. Now it's at 9,694. So I'll give you some context as to where it's been. It's the recent high, by the way, in copper was back in May 24. Hit it over 11,000. 11,000 peaked out at $11,457 a ton. It's now at 9,695. I tend to repeat figures a lot because I have a problem with figures. When someone speaks figures to me, especially in a podcast or on video, they don't stick in my head. You know, I don't know why. I'm not very good like that with numbers. I was dreadful at remembering telephone numbers. My father was a genius at that. And even when mobile phones came out, he said, what's the point of these? I said, well, you don't need to know anyone's number. He said, I know everyone's number. And he did know about 20 telephone numbers. He was very good at maths. And anyway, so let's look at government bonds. And I think Rachel Reeves is going, whew, I got off an MP, a Labour MP said, I think it's misogynistic and really unprofessional to refer to Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor, as Rachel from Accounts. And someone below said, yeah, you're right, actually. She didn't make it to Accounts. She's only Rachel from Complaints. but no, listen, it's very unprofessional to change your previous job titles on LinkedIn when you'd been discovered, I believe. Like I said, she didn't reach any heady heights in the Bank of England. Didn't reach, you know, she's a junior operative there, writing research papers for foreign countries, all that stuff. Not for foreign countries, for the Bank of England on foreign countries. She was in the complaints department, wasn't she, at HBOS. So I don't see why she's all of a sudden Chancellor in charge of UK economics, and she's completely messing it up. Anyway, a sigh of relief here because bond yields are falling. So 2-year is down, well, in fact, gapped down yesterday. I think it was on bad inflation data, of course, because if inflation is coming down, there's more of a chance that interest rates will be reduced. So that will reduce the yield on bonds. So we are now 4.4 on the 2-year and 4.7 on the 10-year. So they are dropping a little bit there. As far as the pound, a pound will buy you €1.18 and it'll buy you $1.21. It has fallen off a cliff here, but we are seeing maybe a tentative signs of a bounce or floor maybe here. Who knows? Okay, let's look at some macro news. First up, UK economy disappoints despite return to growth. It's not really growth. It could be a rounding error because it was a 0.1% uptick in November's figures, driven by trade for pubs, restaurants and the construction industry after it shrank in October and September. In the 3 months to November, the economy is estimated to have shown no growth. So we are literally teetering on recession. And these are like data error points, you know. So these are the actual figures. GDP month on month for November, 0.1%. I'm not joking. My mother-in-law, right, she tends to buy us lots of stuff, you know, from the shops and when she comes here. The other day, she bought an industrial size bag of tea bags. Tetley was like 600 in there, something ridiculous. And I'm thinking, if she didn't buy that bag of tea bags, we wouldn't have seen that 0.1% growth in GDP. That's how slim that is. It was forecast to be double at 0.2%. Previously, it was minus 0.1%. So again, below expectations. Now, GDP year on year for November, actual was 1%. 1%. Forecast was 1.3%. And previously 1.3%. Again, below forecasts. And this is telling, actually, because, of course, a recession is measured by two consecutive quarters of contraction, of negative growth, okay? This is the monthly GDP, 3 months and 3 months changed November. Actual, zero. Forecast, zero. Previous, zero. So we are literally on a tightrope here. You know, almost falling off into recession. And in the City AM, second story, UK economy interest rates cut a certainty in February after weak data. A February interest rate cut is a certainty after new data suggests that inflationary pressures are weaker than previously thought, but the path beyond remains unclear. Economists expect the Bank of England to back a third rate cut next month after two important pieces of economic data. Figures on Wednesday showed the headline rate of inflation fell to 2.5% in December, down from 2.6% previously and below expectations. So you've got to look at what's playing into. If the big sticky points of inflation is wage growth and services, they're going to drop off, aren't they? Because we've seen from big recruiters, online recruiters, job openings are at four-year lows or multi-year lows. And the CEO of Indeed, Sticks in My Head, said the recruitment has dropped over the year by 23%. When I've seen those kind of figures, we're going into recession. Now, if we are going into recession and people start suffering, the economy starts suffering, then you tend to get less people going out, more people losing jobs, less people going out. And just the general worry, the sentiment around spending money. It's almost you talk yourself into recession. You know, you see all the gloomy news around and people start to fear about their own finances and start spending less. So there's not going to be demand for goods. There's certainly not going to be any wage increases. So if you're looking at, if they're not worrying about, there's obviously energy, but if you're looking further out, the economy drives inflation pretty much. Apart from international issues like in energy and stuff, but we're going to see, weak wage growth, if any, and of course spending will go down. That will kill inflation. In the short term, we may see a blip in inflation and economy slowing down, which is basically no growth and inflation is stagflation. That's the way we're going. So the Bank of England have to reduce interest rates because essentially the budget has driven the economy into the ground and it wasn't actually very good before that. So it's not a party political thing. We were hardly going gangbusters with the Tories, but GDP now is forecast to grow below the 20-year average. So something has to be done. I do think, actually, maybe on a positive note, stronger companies here will become more efficient because they'll have to because of higher bills, and weaker companies will go out of business. And so, sadly, you will have the stronger companies getting better and they'll be more productive. So anyway, that's just my opinions. Microcap news. So I look at companies sub 100 million market cap that are commercial. By that, I mean they're generating revenue. Some of these on this list here may not be profitable. Now, what I'm looking for are companies for the microcap league. By the way, these notes are all available on our chat channel on the Share Pickers Investment Club, along with the forecasts and all that stuff, to see whether they're good enough. Now, I'm not going to tell you which of these companies are already on the microcap league, but you can probably guess by the quality. Okay, first one. Concurrent Technologies, CNC, a designer and manufacturer of leading-edge computer products, systems, and mission-critical solutions used in high-performance markets by some of the world's major OEMs. That's a good sell, isn't it? Is pleased to announce an update on trading for the year ended the 31st December. So they've got a market cap of 118 million. Based on its unaudited management accounts for financial year 24, the company expects to report both revenues and profits before tax approximately 10% ahead of market expectations. That's what you're looking for. Do you know the magic formula here? It's not only companies beating market expectations. I mean, that's top tier. You know, you're not going to get a lot of companies doing that. But if they can up their revenue and maintain or improve margins, maintaining is very good. But if you improve the margins, that means you can scale efficiently. That's the mark of a potential multi-bagger. Anyway, ahead of market expectations, driven by the group's strategy to more assertively address its market opportunity by investing in talent and product development. As a result, financial year 24 is set to be a record year, with revenue expected to be approximately 25% ahead of financial year 23. Well done, Concurrent. So that's going to be the 39.6 million in revenue, up from 31.7, and adjusted profit before tax of 5.2, up from 3.7. Excellent. And now, I do like this company, but I don't understand if it's like banks and all that stuff. They've got some kind of balance sheet and, you know, income statements and all that stuff, and cash flow statement of a bank. And I don't really, I find it really complex to read. And I think even though I could probably, you know, you could probably make money out of this company, I have to sort of understand the company before I invest. So I haven't invested, but I've been looking at this company for a while, and they've been, their trading updates have been getting better and better. But I've stood back because I don't really understand the balance sheet and all that stuff, because assets are liabilities, liabilities are assets, all that stuff. Distribution Finance Capital, DFCH, a specialist bank providing working capital solutions to dealers and manufacturers across the UK, is pleased to provide a trading update for 12 months ended 31st December, announced the launch of a new lending partnership, new medium-term financial guidance, and the launch of a share buyback program. So market cap about 67 million. In fact, where is Concurrent today? Concurrent are up 9.75% of 152. I do apologise. I often delay reading the share price up. Anyway, market cap 67 million. This is Distribution Finance Capital, DFCH. Full year 24, total pre-tax profit, including recoveries and write-backs written to Royal Life, expect to be not less than £18.7 million, up from £4.6 million. Wow. Financial year 25, pre-tax profit is now expected to be ahead of market expectations. Another one, two in a row, driven by continued elevated NIM and strong core lending. As of the 31st of December, tangible net asset value per share expect to be not less than 63 pence. Where at the moment? At 39 pence a share. So 63 pence, tangible net asset value. New partnership with Stargo, that's part of Trufin, of course, to expand the group's lending products, making invoice discounting available to existing and prospective customers for their working capital needs. Share buyback program of up to £5 million to further enhance shareholder returns. So it's a lot of good announcements there. Where are they? They're up 3%. They've had a good rally, though, from the bottom. Yeah. It's not too late, you see. Yeah, so they're up today, 3.26. They were up high in this, but they did have a low. When was the low? The low was back at 18 pence, now 39 pence, pretty much. Low was back in December 23. 23, was it? Really? Wow. In December 24, where were they? Did they have a... why is it the on the chart there? January 24, December 23. Were they, suspended for a while. I don't know. Anyway, but recently, our last trading update, I think I read out, they gapped up on the 5th of December from pretty much 33 pence. They gapped up to 37 pence. The gap up is often good to see in a share price. It often comes back and closes that. Doesn't always, as people say, always fills a gap. Doesn't really. So anyway, 24, like I said, where are they? Yeah, PBT of 14.5 for 25, up from 18.7 is actual. PBT 14.5, 18. Huh? Anyway, it's improving. But it seemed like good steady growth going ahead there. Next, MPAC, M-P-A-C, sticker. A global leader in high-speed packaging and automation solutions, today announces a trading update for the 31st of December. Board is pleased to report the group's financial year 24 performance and expects it to report underlying profit before tax in line. There we go. So when I say ahead, I go, ahead! And when I say in line, it just means it's coming in line. Profit before tax, 10.5 million, up from 7.1 as anticipated. Profit before tax in H2 24 was substantially above H1 24, aided by improving project margins and operational efficiencies. Their margins are quite low, but there we are. Market cap, 157 million, so a little bit bigger than we expect on the market caps. But sales this year, 129 million, up from 114. And profit before tax of 10.5, up from 7.1. They are expected to get a bumper increase in 25 because of this acquisition they've created. So expect to go from 129 million revenue up to 209 million. And their profit before tax is supposed to go from 10.5 up to 18.6. Of course, that's forecast. And an improvement again, not as big as that, but in 26 as well. So maybe worth a look. Where are MPAC today? They are up 0.5%. Next, Norman Broadbent, a leading executive search and interim management firm, provides following an audited trading update for 3 months and the full year. But they say for the full year, we've got a market cap of 2 million. I do wonder why this is, you know, maybe it's listed really, because they're struggling. They've got small margins. But 2 million market cap, Norman Broadbent. Net fee income of 9.3 million, down 13% on a record 23, that is, the previous year of 10.5 million they had. But it's up 27% on financial year 22. Yeah. I always wonder sometimes about companies, if they have a good year last year, they start comparing to the previous year, the year before the last year, you know. Underlying EBITDA is expected to be more than 250K, down from record of 900K in financial year 23, but up from 100K in financial year 2022. It's still not good, is it? You know, EBITDA, underlying EBITDA, 250K. Sorry. So that means a loss before tax of approximately 200K, reflecting market conditions and strategic investment, represents a decline from 23, which they had 300K profit. They're now doing a 200K loss. But an improvement on, back to 2022 again, an improvement on financial year 22's loss of 300,000. Yeah. Year-end net cash of 100K, down on 400K in 23, and considerably up on net debt position of 1.1 million in 2022. But it doesn't seem like it's going in the right direction, does it? They're loss-making and, you know, comparables maybe hard, but they are loss-making again and they've not got that much cash. Next, the Pebble Group. Of course, not to be confused with Pebble Beach. So the Pebble Group, it's easy. In fact, it's easy to get confused because Pebble Beach, it does broadcast systems. In fact, they had a profit warning yesterday. That's PEB ticker. The Pebble Group is PEBB, a leading provider of technology, services, and products to the global promotional products industry, announces group results for the year ending 31st December are expected to be in line with market expectations. Market cap, 73 million. In fact, it's Norman. Norman! Ooh, Norman's up 5.8%. But it's had a heck of a fall. I mean, you know, recruiters, very hard at the moment. Of course it is. And it's going to be hard for a while, isn't it? But maybe, you know, pick the best out of that bunch, their sector, and wait for a turn, the recovery, because they'll start rallying before the actual recovery or the macro figures show. But it's up 5.8% to 3.28. But the peak back here was in April of 24. They did get 10 pence, and now it's 3 pence a share. So they've dropped quite a bit. The Pebble Group, sorry. Market cap 73 million. Group revenue will be circa 125 million versus 124.2. Adjusted EBITDA of not less than 16.5, up from 16. Operating profit, which is expected to be around 8.4, up from 8. So it's improving on the metrics there. Margins obviously are not huge. What are the margins there? So 125 for 10 to be. Not too bad. Cash generation was slightly ahead of expectations, with group ahead net cash of 16.5 million. So they expect to do for roughly the same for 2025, 129 million, up from 125. So from 124 to 125, then 129 for 2025, and profit for tax 9.9 for 23. 2024 expected to be 10.2, and for 2025, 10.4. So they are headed in the right direction. Next, let's look where they are. They're up 4.7%, and they have had a heck of a time here, Pebble Group. They've gapped down back in November from 85 pence a share down to 55 pence, now 47 pence. But maybe the start of a bottoming process, maybe one to watch, who knows. But they are up a little bit today, 4.78%, 47 pence. And I suppose this podcast is supposed to be quicker. Premier Miton Group, an AIM-coded fund management group, today provides an update on its unaudited statement of assets under management for the first quarter of the current financial year, ended the 30th of September. Market cap, 97 million, 10.7 billion assets under management as of the 31st of December. It's exactly the same in up to September 2024. Net inflows into open-ended funds and segregated mandates during November and December. This is after the budget, of course. People pull their money out before the budget, then pull them back in afterwards. So it's not a true reflection of what's happening. Because for the quarter, they had £33 million net outflows. And that continues to happen. They're down today. And in fact, it's a struggle for smaller listed. I mean, a lot of them got very good balance sheets and paid decent dividends. Sure. Because I'm yawning. I'm boring myself. This may be a sign. The podcast is too long. I'm kidding. I don't know what that is. Why I yawn. I'm going to Google this. Why do I yawn when I talk? Cooling down your brain. Keep your brain alert by communicating how you feel. What? Okay. Anyway, sorry. If I remember, I'll edit this bit. But yeah, they are down today 3.6%. Next, SRT Marine Systems. SRT, a global provider of maritime domain awareness systems and technologies for security, safety and environmental protection, is pleased to provide a trading update for 6 months financial period to the 31st of December. 113 million market cap. Group revenue expected to be 25.5 million, up from 5.5. Profit loss before tax, 2.5 million of profit versus a loss of 4.6. And gross cash balance of 4.5, up from 3.9. Is the forecast? No forecast here. They're under review by the broker because basically SRT have missed so many of their targets in delays and all that stuff. So they pulled that. But SRT, let me just see where they are today. Are they up or down? They are up 3.3%. But they are hitting some resistance here, resistance of 50 pence pretty much. They're at 47 pence. They seem to bob their head on that and go below, so we'll see. That's it for today. Thank you very much. Like I said, 15 days left of the ShareFix Investment Club, 50% discount. If you want to get that discount, then buy my book. You can get it for £15.39 at Amazon. There's not many copies left. And then, if you like it and you leave a positive rating, and a 5-star review, you can get 50% off. Okay, that only lasts until the 31st of January. So 15 days and counting. Thanks for listening. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.